What's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm all right. My internet speed has just dropped substantially. I don't know what's going on. So I hope we don't lose this call. Well, do you have time to listen to it again?
Yeah, I listened to it last night.
I'm pulling up my notes, so just give me a second.
Let it be.
Well, you got any news today? Since we haven't convened in a long time.
Yeah, we haven't. Unfortunately, I haven't seen much in the way of McCartney news. Although, I think he was going to announce some more dates, wasn't he? I thought I saw that.
That's supposed to be forthcoming here shortly. Well, I mean, David Bowie passed away since we last met. He has some connections to John Lennon, and there's been some photos circulating online with him and Paul. Any feelings on that?
Yeah, I was surprised because I had no idea that he was suffering from cancer, but I think that was the idea. I don't think he made it public, so it was quite the shock when it was announced that he passed away.
Any favorite songs of his or?
I have never heard a full Bowie album ever, so I can only go by the greatest hits stuff. So,
Wow.
like Fame, Changes, I like those. The older classic stuff, I don't really know that well.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Just never felt the need to get into that, or just not your style, or what?
I go by the voice when it's a singer. I go by the sound of their voice, and I never really liked David Bowie's singing style. But I know that's not what he's known for, is the sound of his voice. He's known for so many other things, the artistry of what he creates. But I gauge a singer by the sound of their voice.
Wow, I like his voice. I think it's unique. Well, anyway, the Young Americans album is the album with Fame, and it came out in 75, and it's kind of like it's a plastic, he called it plastic soul, and it's kind of like Bowie doing mid-70s Hall and Oates with a little bit of the Stylistics and all those Philly soul bands in there. It's pretty cool. It's a really good album. I suggest everybody check it out. And then Glenn Frey passed away. He doesn't have any connections to the Beatles, but that was another big death recently. Any feelings on that?
Yeah, that's more in line with my Buffett podcast because they were buddies. Glenn Frey and Buffett were buddies, and other members of the Eagles were buddies of Buffett too. Timothy B. Schmidt was part of Buffett's band for a couple years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, actually, Timothy B. Schmidt's the guy that came up with the whole term parrothead.
Really?
Yeah, he's the guy that invented it.
That's kind of cool.
But no, that doesn't have much to do with Glenn Frey, though. But about the only thing I know about Glenn Frey, the only solo song I know of his is the one that's on the Miami Vice soundtrack.
Yeah, there's a good solo greatest hits album out there streaming, and it's got a lot of good tunes on there that you didn't even realize were Glenn Frey. So I suggest checking that out. But on the Eagles front, Desperado, which is one of their early albums, is really good, and a totally different sound than the later stuff. It's kind of cool to hear more of that country rock, because with Hotel California, they went kind of full blown arena style rock. But that's a really good album, and it's got Doolin Dalton's on there, which is a great song. But Glenn Frey and the Eagles were just in Detroit in July, so seems kind of odd that he would get sick that quick and pass away. All right, so this week we're doing Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, which was released in September of 2005 on the 12th, and it's a album produced by Nigel Goodrich. which he worked with Radiohead, I believe. So, how's your feelings on this album?
I remember when it came out, you were giving it a good review, and so I got myself a copy, but I never really listened to it. The first time I listened to it all the way through was last week, matter of fact, even though I've had it on my hard drives for quite a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think of it overall before we get into the tracks?
It's got a nice sound to it. It's got a nice, intimate sound. I saw some reviewers that were saying this is like McCartney 3 because he performs so much of it himself. But it's better than the other two McCartney solo albums because, or the other, it's better than the other two McCartney albums because he had a producer to keep him in check and keep him from getting too indulgent and just, you know, those meandering instrumentals and playing around with computer synthesizer effects. So this is slightly better. It's got a nice sound to it, although a lot of the songs have such a similar sound that they just sound the same.
You think so?
Yeah, well, it's got like that overall folky kind of sound to it. Just piano and acoustic guitar.
Right.
And there are so many songs. It's nice while you're listening to it, but then looking back at the track list, not that many songs stand out.
Yeah, I think I think overall it's a really good album. The first track is Fine Line, which in the beginning when this came out, this was an instant skipper. But when I played it a couple weeks ago, I actually was won over by it. I had not heard it in many, many years, probably since its release, because I never always skipped it when I played this album. But it's a good piano rocker, and it's a good way to start off the album, and I think his vocals are pretty good. There's a little bit of strings in there. It's probably just synth strings. But I like it. I think it's a really good up-tempo song, way to start out the album. And that tambourine at the very end reminds me a lot of something Ringo would do on a Beatle album. What'd you think of that track?
I'm surprised you skipped it, because it's one of the few that... that, you know, have that McCartney sound that sound like the typical old style two verses and a chorus type song. And the one thing that struck me though was the fact that it's piano driven made it sound a lot like Flaming Pie, and I mean the song Flaming Pie, not the album Flaming Pie.
Right.
It really reminded me of that song.
Yeah, it does have kind of a Flaming Pie sound to it now that you mention it. Next song is How Kind of You. What'd you think of that?
It's got a nice sound to it. I like the piano loop. There's like a burbling piano loop in the background that I kind of liked. The melody is a bit atonal for me. And the rhythm to the song, the rhythm to the lyrics reminded me of Instant Karma. Which is kind of strange because the song itself doesn't remind me of Instant Karma. But like the last two lines of the chorus sounded a lot like the last two lines of the Instant Karma chorus.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that I was lost. I thought I'd never find someone quite as kind
as you. I never heard. I never even thought about that. I think this song has a lot of nice sentiments to it. It's probably about Heather, maybe a little bit about Linda. That nice piano in the midpoint of the song is really good. It's got that, like you said, it's got a lot of acoustic, electric drums, maybe. The lyrics, I like the lyrics. It's all, you know, it's a nice song about finding love and how. And how that whole theme blends well with the instruments, I thought was quite nice. This is a pretty good song. And first two are big thumbs up. The third one has been compared to Blackbird. Jenny Wren, what'd you think?
Well, I don't think it really sounds like Blackbird. It's just the fact that it's just acoustic guitar. And I don't even think it's solo acoustic guitar. Isn't it like double tracked?
I think so, yeah.
But it's a nice song. It's a nice, pretty song. A nice, quiet, quiet song, and I like the. I thought it was a clarinet when I first heard it, but now I read that it's a duduk. I think that's how you say it, duduk, which is an Armenian woodwind instrument that sounds like a clarinet.
Yeah, that was a cool sound there at the end. I like that too. This is a great. It's a great guitar, acoustic guitar song, and the vocals are very understated. And it gives that intimate feeling like Paul's right there in the room. And I mentioned a violin, so that was what you were just talking about. It wasn't a violin, or maybe was there a violin in there too? Because there's a lot of strings going on there in the middle.
I don't recall any strings. I thought it was just guitar and that woodwind.
That may be what I'm talking about, because it's a different sounding instrument. There's a little bit of bass in there. It's a little very subtle, though. But overall, I think the arrangement is really good. And this used to be a mainstay in the early 2000s set list live, and it's vanished in the last 10 years. It's like this whole album has just gone into the ether. He doesn't even do anything off of it, which is... This song always got a good reaction from the audience because it was just him there and the stage by himself. I thought that was a good way to play it. So I like this song. Big thumbs up. At the Mercy. This is a different sounding song. What'd you think?
The only thing I remember about the song is the title, the way he sings the title, and it's such an earworm that I can't get it out of my head now. The only thing that sticks with me is At the Mercy, At the Mercy. That's just in my head now. I can't get it out.
Yeah, I like how the song starts out as a piano ballad, but then morphs into something completely different. The lyrics show a very nervous and unsure Paul. I like that, and I like the line, I can think of nothing more to say, and then the song just ends right there. It's kind of, I don't know if that's lazy or cool. What'd you think?
That went right by me.
Yeah, it was just weird how I have nothing more to say and then the song ends. And it rips right into Friends to Go, which is a more up-tempo song. What'd you think of that? Because this has been rumored to be inspired by George.
Really? Wow.
I guess, is
there any evidence to that, or are they just assuming that he's got to be lashing out at somebody?
Well, he says that he wrote it in the style of a George Harrison song.
Oh. Oh.
So, did you think this has a George Harrison feel to it? Maybe the guitar? What'd you think?
It didn't occur to me. But I don't even know if I'd recognize a George Harrison sound if there weren't sitars in it.
Well, true.
Sitars in it.
It's a good upbeat song, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I did like it. I wrote that it was close to a rock song. It's not the closest it's gotten so far. But even then, it's not all that rockish. It's just up-tempo. And I like the idea of a song about waiting for your friends to go. I just like that idea.
Yeah.
It's like, things would be better once you get rid of these guys and start, you know, concentrating on my company.
Yeah, I think it... I don't know if this is... I'd like to know what inspired this song, because the lyrics are... very odd, in a story sense. I'd like to know if this is about Heather, and since she was so much younger than him, I don't know. But yeah. it's a very good song. The next one is a classic throwback McCartney song, English Tea. What'd you think?
Yeah, I just wonder what John Lennon would think about this song. He'd probably despise it.
Yeah, he'd hate it.
But I do like it. It amuses me how English this song sounds. It's like every cliche of English music is in this one song. It's almost like a parody of a British song. But I still like it. It still amuses me. I do like it.
I like the lyrics and the observations that he pulls together.
Yeah.
The piano is really, really cool. And there's that flute sound at the end, and then he kind of whistles, you know, along with the song as he's playing on piano. I thought it was kind of cool. This was also a mainstay in his touring set list for a long time, and he actually played this on several television shows to promote this album, but it has also vanished from the McCartney landscape.
I like how he also admits that he's very twee.
Yeah.
A lot of critics have been accusing him. So he's just admitting it. Yeah, that's me.
Too Much Rain is next. What'd you think?
I didn't write anything down about this song. The only thing I remember is the way the chorus goes up really high. It was a pleasant sounding song, but I really had nothing to say about it.
Yeah, I think it's a heartbreaking lyric. The song is very, very powerful and it's subtle, and the vocals really sell it. And this proves how beautiful a song McCartney can write. And I love the end, you know, it just kind of says there's no more rain, and you know, it's not, there's no need for no more rain, you know. And I thought that was nice too. And it's a really good song. It's a classic McCartney song. The next is kind of a jazzy style song, A Certain Softness. What'd you think?
I noticed that the percussion sounds a lot like And I Love Her. That was about the only thing I wrote down. It's another nice, pleasant song, but I didn't have much to say about it.
Yeah, I like that bluesy feel it has to it, and with the guitar and the piano. The vocals are great. It's another good observation song, and I like the guitar sound also. It's just this is one of the high points for me. I did not catch on the And I Love Her. I'll have to go back and check it out again. This is a good song, though. Riding to Vanity Fair. This is a very dark, dark song. What'd you think?
Yeah, I like the dreamy sound to it, like the sound, the waves of sound. But the little glockenspiel or xylophone or whatever it is that's on the left side gets a little monotonous after a while because it just plays the same two notes. But it's an interesting song, and I read that Paul McCartney really wanted to speed it up, but the producer was dead set against that, and he actually wanted it as slow as possible.
I heard that too. Now, this is a very dark-sounding song, like I said, and there's a sense of doom almost that kind of runs through the whole thing. It's almost like a kiss-off song, and then words about friendship and betrayal. I thought that was cool. Use time to think about myself, and there's kind of like that chimey sound in there.
Yeah.
And then Paul's electric guitar near the end. This is about somebody. I'd love to know who it's about. And like you said, I also mentioned it has that dreamy-like feel to it. Yeah. I think it's pretty good.
I assume it's a reference to Pilgrim's Progress, because that's where Vanity Fair comes from. It's not a place. It's a literary invention, I think. So I wonder how much this has to do with, if it does have anything to do with Pilgrim's Progress, or if he just liked the name of, the sound of the name, or if it really is, you know, a reaction or reflection on Pilgrim's Progress, if you did read it. Because I think I read it way long time ago, and I don't remember it.
Is that the book?
Yeah, it's a very old book from the 1600s called Pilgrim's Progress.
Interesting. Well, Follow Me is next. What'd you think of that?
It's another song where I didn't write anything about it, and now I don't remember it. I only vaguely remember it. I can say that there aren't any songs on here that I didn't like, so I guess this is another one that had a pleasing sound.
Yeah, this is a great song. I like the Give Me a Reason to Face Every Day. The great vocal, You Hold Me Up, a sign that you hold up, a sign that reads Follow Me. I really like the lyrics. This is another classic McCartney song he writes so well over and over again. Mm-hmm. Lyrics are good, and it's a tight package. It's a pretty good song. I remember seeing signs in the audience for this song to be played, but it never made the set list. Promise to You Girl is next. It's an odd placement of this song. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think this is like the closest the album has to a rock song, but it has a kind of old-timey sound to it, like it's a rejected song from Run, Double, Run, or something like that.
Yeah, I said the same thing, odd little piano rocker. Good harmony interlude there, and then the song kicks back up with the piano and electric guitar. This is an okay song, but I liked Fine Line better. This never happened before. We're getting close to the end here. What'd you think? This is a typical piano ballad. What'd you think?
Yeah, this really sounded like his attempt at a single off the album. It's his typical style of ballad. And it's got a nice melody, but it just doesn't cut it as being like a classic McCartney song. It's close, but not all the way there.
It had that kind of the beginning of it when he starts out. Almost sounds like he's going to go into Long and Winding Road. And yeah, I liked this song. I thought it was, I liked it a lot. I think the lyrics, I think the vocals are great. The bass line's good. Yeah, I think this is, I like it a lot. I'm going to say it's the perfect song. I'm surprised you don't like it. He rips in next to Anyway, which is the end of the last song on the album, but there's a hidden track there at the end.
Okay, what, that's it, that's it.
What'd you think?
I was thinking Anyway was the last song, but last week I split these two tracks and made the hidden track its own separate file, so that's why I got confused. I forgot that I did that last week. Anyway is a really nice song. It's like an anthem. But and it's a nice way to close out the album. But the chord changes sound way too much like People Get Ready. Close
yeah.
enough. Close enough that I think they've got a lawsuit on their hands.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's the first thing I thought when I heard it as well.
If you love me, for the train to call me, I've been too long in my soul is constant yearning, always singing, singing this song.
Yeah, what's up with that? What are your feelings about that?
I don't know.
Is this a blatant ripoff?
Well, no. It's probably just like the George Harrison lawsuit where he just had the you know, the song in the back of his head, and he didn't even realize that he was repeating it. But McCartney's got so many people around him that you'd think they would say, hey, you know, that sounds just like People Get Ready.
Yeah, it is. You play the two back to back, there's obvious similarities that you can't deny. But that being said, I think it's a great piano song. And I like these two songs back to back. This never happened before in this one. I think the lyrics are great. The vocal is good. There's drums and piano in there, and they kind of play well together and just sounds really good. And the cure each other's sorrows. I like that lyric. I thought this is kind of like a lot of stuff in here probably has to do with him dealing with coming to terms with Linda being gone, and I just think it's these two songs are very, very good. And then there's this hidden track, I've Only Got Two Hands. What'd you think?
The first part sounds even more like Flaming Pie than Fine Line does, the song Flaming Pie. And about a minute or so into it, it turns into one of those Red Rose Speedway medleys with you know, just a bunch of songs jammed up together, and then it ends with a bunch of sound effects that sound like leftover sound effects from Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah,
it's the flying instrumental.
It's a jam song, and it's kind of is it just me or is it weird? Do you think it's kind of like his attempt to show that he's still got a little bit of street cred when creating a song that's different like this? I mean, the piano breakdown near the middle it has that psychedelic feel to it. And it's near the end, it kind of reminds me of a Beatles jam that they would have done. And then there's some kind of tape looping at the end, isn't there?
Yeah, it sounds just like the end of Flying.
Yeah. This is just a crazy song. I don't know if he just had
maybe
to throw...
that too.
They had to throw some kind of rocker, real blatant rocker in at the end or what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Overall, where do you think this album fits into the McCartney canon, I guess I should say?
I don't know. I know it got really good reviews when it came out, but I think it was just because people were slightly dissatisfied with the two albums before it. And so this was kind of like McCartney returning to form. But comparing this album to all his other albums, I'm not sure. I think it would fall kind of in the middle because it's not that bad, but then again, it's not that great.
Yeah, I think later, though, later McCartney albums, I think this rakes up right up there. It's 10 times better, 20 times better than Driving Rain. I mean, it's a tight album, and I on the whole, I think it plays well together. All the songs kind of fit well together, unlike Driving Rain, which there was some strange ones in there.
Yeah.
So he toured on this album and released a live album in the U.S. called Back in the U.S. Have you heard anything off that?
I don't remember. Tell you the truth. Oh, this is hazy.
So this album sold decent, and then he did a TV special for ABC, which was a montage of a bunch of live clips, which aired the day before Thanksgiving in 2006, I believe. And the live album was forthcoming the following week, I believe. And Back in the U.S. has him in very good vocal form. I don't know what's happened to Paul recently. I've revisited his Super Bowl performance a couple nights ago, and he sounded pretty damn good on that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do remember that. That was right after Britney, wasn't it? Or not Britney, Janet Jackson.
Yes. Do you remember? I mean, he obviously this wasn't a lip sync.
Oh, he was accused of it, though, because his vocals sounded so good. But I really doubt that he did. And I don't think he did. But it was pretty impressive how good his vocals sounded.
Yeah, I thought he sounded, better than he sounded recently. That was a good performance. No. Huh?
It wasn't after Janet Jackson.
It should have been the year after. 2004 should have been the Janet Jackson he played in 2005.
Okay. I was thinking it was earlier than that. Because I remember they had all this American iconography all around him, like the Statue of Liberty and American flags all over, like Paul McCartney's this great American artist.
Right. Well, how do you think Paul's performance lines up with U2's?
Well, Paul's great. But, I mean, U2 was pretty impressive because it was right after 2001, I believe. It was right after 9/11.
Yeah, they highlighted Bono and U2 on the Super Bowl halftime wrap-up show a couple nights ago on CBS. And Bono's voice didn't seem that good that night, but the performance on a whole was so good. It's almost like he was suffering a little bit from laryngitis. You should go back and check it out.
I wouldn't be surprised. Bono has an iffy voice. He gets very nervous and loses his voice, especially on opening night. The first night of any tour, he won't be able to sing. It's like guaranteed.
But the performance on a whole was so good that it didn't matter. It was kind of like an awe-inspiring performance. I really enjoyed it. I remember. Now looking back on it, you see how important it was. And a lot of the All That You Can't Leave Behind songs were kind of were thrown in there. And it was just a really good... And then the 9/11 imagery with all the people that died flashing there, it was just awesome.
Yeah, that was really moving when they did that in concert, displaying all those names.
Yeah, it was just fantastic. And I think that performance and McCartney's performance is much better. Everybody talks about how great Prince was, and he was good. But I just don't think he lined up with those two performances. And tonight we get Coldplay. And even though this show may not show up on our feed for a while, but what do you think about Coldplay being on tonight?
I can't imagine them getting rallying the crowd up or working the crowd into a frenzy. Their songs are so sedate.
Yeah. And,
I mean, I'm usually tired by the time halftime rolls around anyway, so I bet the entire room that I'm going to be in is going to be full of people falling asleep, not just me.
It does not seem like an appropriate halftime performance, that's for sure. I was shocked.
But it could be very, very worse. That's my way of thinking.
Could be. Oh, it could be. Absolutely, it could be worse.
So, at least it's a band I know.
Yeah, true.
I don't know that many songs.
Yeah,
but well, I mean, it could be so worse, and it's already been worse. Matter of fact,
if they play The Scientist, expect you to fall into a Super Bowl haze, probably with all the food everybody will be eating. You're right. Everybody will be comatose by the time that comes. The Scientist is played tonight.
Maybe
they almost have to play that. It's just it's one of their big songs. But they promised Bruno Mars and Beyonce showing up, so who knows what we're going to get.
Maybe they can wake everybody up with a big fireworks show. They can, yeah. Coldplay can do one song, and then they'll do 15 minutes of fireworks.
Well, next up is Memory Almost Full. Any comments before we get out of here on that? Have you heard that one in its entirety?
You talked me into buying this album, matter of fact. So I got it. I got the downloadable version of it from iTunes back in 2007.
And your feelings?
I'm not going to tell you.
I think
the only thing I remember is the first track. Matter of fact, even though I do own this album, the only song that is memorable was the first song,
"Dance Tonight."
Yeah,
yeah, that was a single. We'll get into that next time. That'll be our next album. We are almost done here. After that, we always kind of recap at the end. So after that, we have "Flowers on the Bottom," and
"Kisses on the Bottom."
Yeah, "Kisses on the Bottom." Then we have "New." And so we only have three albums left in the whole discography.
Wow. It
seems, and then if we want to, we'll go back and visit those Liverpool Oratorio and the Fireman catalog. There's a couple Fireman albums. But rumors have it him working with some producer that produces Adele. As soon as this month, I guess he's been working on tracks. Of course, his rep won't comment on it, but there's got to be something going on. And the Paul McCartney Archive collection probably will get some more releases this year. Maybe we'll finally get a Back to the Egg compilation, or even a Wildlife would be nice, even though those two albums are not generally considered some of the best of Wings, but he should not leave those two out.
I was wondering when they were going to announce something about that.
All right. Well, that's it. And we'll see you next time on The Long and Whiny Show. And don't forget to check out the I've Got a Beatles podcast, which did a nice Bowie tribute this past week. And the Beatles Anthology Revisited has suddenly been taken off. Is it off iTunes? I can't. It's like their feed is gone. I don't know if they pulled it or what.
Well, no, it ended.
Yeah, but I thought that they would just leave the episodes up there. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, the artwork is gone from my podcast app and everything. It's just, it was weird. It just kind of disappeared this last couple weeks ago. Mm. But that was a really good podcast. If nobody's been able to check that out, I don't know where you'd find it now, but it's really in-depth.
Maybe you can get a torrent of it or something.
Yeah, it's excellent. And they kind of brought it up to the present there with a nice clip of Ringo and Paul playing at the David Lynch Foundation several years ago.
Yeah, didn't it end like right around Christmas time or New Year's?
Right around Christmas time it ended. Yeah, that's too bad that's not available out there. That was really good. And that's about all I got. So I guess that's it. We'll see you guys next time.